Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, welcome to week two of Kingdom Builders. Steve Moore's abusive, isn't he? That's just wrong. Y'all pray for me. Isn't that terrible? I feel so bad. It's so much. I've been abusing him for 20 years. We've been teasing each other and busting each other's chops. I think a lot of men love coming here because we just abuse each other. Men like to do that. We've had ladies come to us and go, man, does that hurt your feelings? And Steve's like, I hope it hurts his feelings. That's the idea. You know, Kingdom Builders, there's a deficit that's been here for 25 years, and I talked to you all about it last week. And I really hope if you were not here, you go back and listen to it or watch it online. The Kingdom Builders, what we're talking about is not a message. It's really who God's called us all to be. There are two deficits that I've seen in this church. And you know, the bad thing about starting a church is you can't blame anybody. You know, if you take over a church, it's like you can start, you know, that guy before me and that team, they bless their heart. Now, if you're not from the South, bless your heart means, that's a nice way of saying you're so stupid. And so, my wife's from the South, they all bless your heart. I thought, well, isn't that sweet? They're telling you you're stupid, just so you know. And the two deficits that I have to really tell you, if I'm not careful, it overwhelms my heart. The one is a prayer deficit. And it's not that we haven't been praying as a church, is that we haven't led you into intentional prayer well. And I'm telling you, that's changed. It's changing right now. Every Saturday morning, one of the ways we're doing it, we have Saturday morning prayer, 9 o'clock over in the auditorium that I lead. Day 22 prayer groups have launched now. And you know, we have 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we have small groups now of prayer, and it won't be long till every area of this church will have a prayer group praying over it. And owning it in prayer. And that's not far away. And so we're so excited about that. Then also, we ask you every week, if you have now any needs in your life that you'd like us to be praying for, all you have to do is take this prayer card out in the seat pocket in front of you. You can put your name on it if you'd like. And if you want someone to contact you, that's fine. If you don't, just leave it anonymous. And what we do is on Saturday mornings, we just did it yesterday morning, we lay these all out on the altar where we pray. And everybody coming, and there, I don't know, there's probably, I don't want to exaggerate, I'm thinking somewhere between 50 and 70 people that came to prayer at 9 a.m. They each one, they take those cards and we pray individually over the needs in your life. How many of you believe we serve a God that answers prayer? Come on, man, this is so important. We're so excited to see this. But the second one is missions. And it's not that we haven't done it. We've given multiplied millions of dollars away as a church into world missions and local missions and local church expansion and the development of next generation leaders. But you know, we've never let you know. And it's not just you not knowing about it, is that I've not given you the opportunity to give intentionally and to live intentionally outside the walls of this church well. Kingdom Builders is not a series. It is not a fundraiser. It is a declaration of who we are. In fact, I want it to be so synonymous with you that you think Kingdom Builders, you think God's purpose for my life is that I want it to be something like this. How many of y'all know, what does this make you think of when you see this? Come on, baby. This is a terrible towel. Now, if you're not a Steelers fan, there's seating for you out in the back somewhere. But we have this wonderful upside down terrible towel. And so, you know, when you see this, you think Steelers. How many of you remember Myron Cope? How many of you, how many of you have never heard Myron Cope's voice? Raise your hand. Okay, you're gonna have to go online and listen to this because I'm not making this up. Just imagine hearing Myron Cope say, the Kingdom Builders, we're gonna go run the ham yoy, ha ham, touch the world, hum ha. That's how the man spoke. That was a full Myron Cope sentence. And an amen to Myron Cope was, yoy and double yoy, ha. And so I want you to see Kingdom Builders like as recognizable to you in the years to come in this church as you do when you see the terrible towel. And I asked Jesus to let the Patriots lose, and he ignored my prayer completely. I'm telling you, man, Belichick and Brady just need to quit. I just can't stand it anymore. Jesus, help me. So you shouldn't care about such things. Well, leave me alone. Last week, we did an extensive video. I've shortened it way down to just 3 minutes in case you weren't here or you were. Just to recap, take a look at this 3-minute video. If you're unfamiliar with Kingdom Builders, let me take a moment to explain this. Over and above our regular giving, the people of Victory Family Church give to Kingdom Builders. It's where we plant churches. It's where we help missionaries around the world. It's where we dig wells, set people free from human trafficking. It's where we do the good deeds that glorify Jesus and multiply His kingdom by opening up the doors to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Through this, people make pledges at the beginning of the year. They give towards them throughout the year. And in November, we'll be receiving a special impact offering. Whether you make a pledge or not, you're invited to give your very best gift to Kingdom Builders. Think about all the good we can do, all the lives that can be changed, if we all would just simply do our part. Through Kingdom Builders, we're able to really show people the unconditional love of God. Well, how do we do that? Well, one of the things we've noticed is when people invite their friends to church, their friends experience God's love in a tangible way. Through Kingdom Builders, we are expanding our reach. And we're actually starting our first satellite campus in Newcastle. We're going to be able to expand our influence as well in the Pittsburgh area, plant churches throughout the Northeast, and help revitalize 300 churches. What's going to happen is when people come to the local church, they're going to experience the love of God, and their lives will be changed forever through your generosity. I am so excited that Kingdom Builders is investing in the next generation. We want the generation that's coming behind us to share the same faith, to do what we've done, and to do more than we could ever do. We believe in the next generation. That's why we invest in Waymaker School of Ministry, where we train the next generation of pastors and youth pastors and children's pastors and worship leaders and missionaries. We'll also send our juniors and seniors in high school who faithfully attend our high school ministry to go on a missions trip. That says to them, we believe in you. You are a kingdom builder now. Kingdom builders would not be kingdom builders if we didn't go global. I love that we're building the church here in our area, but I also love that we're building the church all over the world. I love that through Kingdom Builders, we're able to do good works in Uganda through Living Waters Ministries. We're able to build the church in Asia, Africa, and Central America, and to work with amazing ministries like Reach, who are planting churches in Cambodia, Vietnam, and Myanmar. Kingdom Builders is about generosity. It's about saying, I've been given so much, and I want to give away as much as I can. I want to help the least of these. I love that through Kingdom Builders, we're able to help people faced with tragedy and crisis. We're able to help people who can't help themselves and are saying, someone please care. I'm so grateful that Kingdom Builders says, we care. We've been given the greatest gift in the world. And through Kingdom Builders, we are able to say, we want to share with you. We want to share with you the gospel. We want to share with you our resources. We want to make an impact in your life because after all, we are all Kingdom Builders. We are all doing this for Jesus Christ. So I want to say thank you for being a Kingdom Builder. Thank you for being generous. And thank you for changing the world. All right, man. What a blessing. You know, in 2019, through Kingdom Builders, we are going to be doubling our giving outside the walls of this church to $1.4 million. And please understand, it's not about money. It's about mission. It's about fulfilling the reason Jesus put you upon the earth. Every year from now on, the first month of the year in January, we will reintroduce the new projects. The projects this year, it's 1 year we make a commitment. And everything you give into Kingdom Builders in this year goes out into the mission outside of this church. And now the $1.4 million, I think we're going to go so far past that number as a church. And I'll talk to you about why. But every penny that's given above it is going to be given away before the end of the year. There are missions and missionaries and ministries that are lined up in need to be able to fulfill their mission. And so in Kingdom Builders, I want you to know that we're going to make an impact and touch the world. We're going to do it globally, we're going to do it locally, and we're going to actually, certainly, we're going to raise up next generation leaders. But your project guide, if you don't have one on your way out, just pick one up. And it's a one-year project guide. We'll start it all over again next year. So every year you will make a commitment to Kingdom Builders as you give outside the walls of this church. And we'll give you more information about that as we go along throughout the year. But I want to make sure you're aware of the project guide on your way out. Now here's what you need to understand about this. You are not being asked to pick a project and to give specifically toward a project or to designate toward a project. It's really not that at all. What we're actually need to do is this, simply to become a kingdom builder. It's not what we do, it's who we are. And in becoming a kingdom builder and giving to kingdom builders, you're funding all the projects. Now, this again is not a program, it's not a fundraiser. This is about mission. And so I want to give every one of you the opportunity, not just to know what we have done or will do or have done as a church. It's not just a reporting mechanism. For some of you, it's going to send you on mission trips that are going to save your life and change your life. And that's why in Kingdom Builders, we're funding our kids. Every junior and senior, through their junior or senior year, we are going to fund through Kingdom Builders for them to go on a missions trip. I'm telling you with all my heart, I don't want the next generation to have the deficit that I've left you. You know, I look back, and I don't know if you have any regrets in life, but boy, you do something for 25 years, you look back at it, you think, Lord, I wish I'd have done such a better job at what I do. But all you can do is make the adjustment and make sure you don't pass it on. And so that's what Kingdom Builders is about. For some of you, you're going to step into the call of God upon your life that you haven't known your next step. And for every one of us, there's a calling on our life. There's a mission and a purpose. And Kingdom Builders, for so many of you, is going to tap into that actual calling. Generations will change. This is not about money. It's not even about us letting you know. If you look at the world map behind me, there are over 200 nations recognized by the UN. And I've been so deficient at letting you know how you've impacted the world. Through Kingdom Builders, this year alone, just this year, through the giving of missionaries that we support, you are impacting 130 nations out of the 200 nations in the world. That's what your giving looks like. Isn't that incredible? It's remarkable. And I just want to encourage every one of you to know that God has called you to be a kingdom builder. The message I'm going to share with you right now, and we're going to end the service by truly getting in his presence and committing to what he's called us to be, and that's kingdom builders. I was actually preparing this. It was just because in our Saturday morning prayer meeting, part of it is just a 10-minute message that I share before we pray. And as I was preparing that message, just for that, it eliminated everything I planned to share with you today. And God just so strongly dealt with my heart early last week that this is what I want you to share. And so I want to read the scripture to you. And understand this, when you hear somebody speak, it's not just some sermon. It's not a human being. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, not a person. I pray that he takes these words that come out of just flesh and that the Spirit of God will make them so real to you that it will be not words as if a man spoke to you, but God by his Spirit will teach you and will instruct you so that you can live the life that he called you to live. In Mark 13, verse 14, the scripture said regarding Jesus this, and he, Jesus, appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. There are four simple things I want you to see that Jesus did when he gathered and wanted to fulfill the mission of his life and ministry. It wasn't just the ministry of Jesus to die on the cross and pay for our sins. He had to raise up a body of believers who would take that mission to the world. And the first thing he did was he found and he selected 12 and he appointed them. And I want you to understand something. If you name Jesus as the Lord of your life, you are no less selected than those 12. You are no less appointed than those 12. Yeah, but I found the Lord. No, he wasn't lost. He found you. If you know Jesus, it's because God sought you, because the Holy Spirit moved on your heart. He so hungered for you. He drew you to himself, and you had the wisdom to say yes. Do you realize you are appointed by God? Do you realize, and that's why you'll hear us say over and over again, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make an impact. These four things that Jesus talked about, you'll see the four things. Being appointed, calling them to himself, it's knowing him. Now, here's the thing. When we think of selecting people, we think of selecting the cream of the crop. But in the day that Jesus lived, Jesus was considered a rabbi. Rabbinical teachings and rabbinical followings, they would call disciples to serve and to learn under their tutelage. And if you were asked by a prominent rabbi to become one of their students or disciples, it was one of the highest honors you could have. That's why you always wonder, why did they leave their businesses and just go follow Jesus? It would be like going to somebody who's a senior in high school and saying, hey, I want to give you a full ride to go to an Ivy League school. See, it would be like being asked to do in your next step of your life one of the most influential, prominent things you could be asked to do. But here's the amazing thing about Jesus. He didn't pick 12 that anyone else would have picked. He didn't pick what was considered the cream of the crop. He picked a tax collector that everybody hated named Matthew, who ended up writing a book of the Bible. He picked a guy named Peter, who ended up literally being part of the team that would spearhead the kingdom of God in the church in the world. He was a fisherman. And Jesus said, listen, I know you're a fisherman, Peter, but listen, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. But that didn't turn Peter into this great orator. I want you to remember what happened after Peter's first sermon. After his first sermon, that 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus in one day. The religious rulers, here's what they said about Peter when they heard him speak. They said, this man is ignorant and he's unlearned. So he didn't, after being with Jesus, become this great orator. I jokingly say this, but it's true. If Peter was from Pittsburgh and you heard him speak, it wouldn't be like someone who graduated with a PhD from Pitt. It would be like somebody who grew up in Brookline down there preach like this, okay? I'm going to tell you this, okay? Now listen, Jesus died for yuns, okay? Now I'm serious. And if you're just going to go on your life and I got on time, just live your life and that, and I'll walk. No, I'm serious. He died for you. Okay? That's what he would have sounded like. And well-educated people would look and say, what an idiot. Come on, man. That guy's not even educated. But here's the last thing they said about Peter. He had been with Jesus. That's the game changer. See, God doesn't call the perfect. God doesn't call what people value. God calls people that he values, and that's everybody. And your past doesn't define you. A Savior defines you. You are appointed by God for a purpose. And the first purpose was not for you to go do something. He said he appointed the 12 that he might be with them. That's the second thing. He wanted to be intimate with them. He wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to impart his life to those 12 men. He poured himself into them. You know, knowing God is one thing, but spending time with God, growing intimate with God through a relationship with Christ. The scripture tells us that for freedom, Christ set us free. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth makes you free. Spending time with him will make you free in your personal life. That's why we talk about finding freedom. You get to know God. You get in a small group where you can get with others and be transparent and let God do a work in your life. Spend time with God's people, which is his body, and spend time in God's presence in a devotional life. You'll find freedom in your life. In fact, let me read another scripture to you. I want you to see the actual principle. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 22 says this. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. The Greek word spent time with them is the Greek word diatribo. So that's not how it's pronounced. I know Greek. I'm Italian. Give me a break. Okay? But here's the diatribo. Dia meaning against, tribo meaning to rub against. We would say it this way. Jesus wanted to rub off on them. You see, when you spend time with God's people, it's why you living independently from a relationship with God's people is so unwise. Because in the environment of being with God's people, in the environment of a relational, daily devotional relationship with God, you lose the ability to have him rub off on you. Spending time with him, Jesus said, I want to rub off on you. And what's the thing they noticed about Peter? It wasn't how he spoke. It wasn't any other thing. Here's what they concluded. That man has been with Jesus. If there's anything I want to be known for in my life, that I want you known for, is not your accomplishments, is not your wealth, not your problems, and not your past. But if people know you, that they say there's something about that man or woman, that they spent time with Jesus. Jesus said, I have appointed you that I might spend time with you and rub off on you. But then he didn't leave it there. And if that's all you ever do in your life, then you live not even the whole purpose. In fact, you don't even enter into the purpose of God yet. That's all most Christians ever do. They give their life to Jesus and they want to get their life better. But that is not the way you live as a Christian. And you will never, by the way, ever get the life you want just doing that. There was a third thing that Jesus did, is that he sent them forth. He said, literally, he said, I appointed them and I spent time with them for this distinct purpose, to release them to a purpose. I'm going to commission them to do something with their life they never dreamed possible. Peter never dreamed, being a fisherman, that he would be a man that God would use to change the planet. A fisherman that was overlooked, that was nothing, that was no one, that people overlooked and laughed at when he preached. This man changed the world because he was commissioned by God and sent forth to do something. That's why we tell you over and over again, it's not just knowing God, it's not just finding freedom, it is discovering your purpose. And one of the primary ways you do that here is to go through the Our Church Experience. Say, I'm too busy for that. Then you're way too busy. Don't be too busy to live the life you were meant to live. Well, I'll tell you, at 58, man, if I've learned anything, this goes way too fast, and faster than I thought it would. That clock spins so fast, it looks like a ceiling fan. I mean, it moves, doesn't it? But here's the reality. You were designed for a purpose. And Jesus said, not only did I appoint you, not only did I want to spend time with you, I did it because I want to release you and send you forth to a purpose. But here's the deal. Being sent only matters if you go. I'm going to say that again. Being sent only matters if you go. That's why Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:33. Seek first, everyone say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the things he's referring to are all the things you need for everyday life, the things you worry about, he said. Food, money, clothing, stuff, problems, relationships. Jesus said, don't put that first in your life. Your Father knows you have need of these things. He made you for more than solving problems. He made you for more than putting money away for retirement and going on vacation and doing fun things. He made you more for trying to just get through daily life. If that's all you ever do, you will live half a life. You will never live the life you were intended to live. That's why Jesus said, put the kingdom first. He said, seek. Everyone say seek. That means pursue my kingdom above everything else and put it first. And all of these other things that you're tempted to put first, listen to me. He said, my Father will add to you. He said, do you look at the birds? Do you see they don't work? They don't sow and reap, but your Father feeds them. How much more important are you to your Father than a bird? He said, your Father knows you have need of these things. And Jesus was trying to show them is that you're always going to have issues. You're always going to have evil in the world. You're always going to have trouble. In fact, he said it that way. In this world, you'll have trouble. How many of you know that scripture came to pass? He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, personal victory comes out of putting God's kingdom first in your life. And what a kingdom builder does is it puts God's kingdom first, trusting him that he's the God that can add everything to you. But what we're all tempted to do, maybe you're not like me, but I think we're all pretty much similar, is anybody here have any problems or just me? Anybody marry their problem like Michelle? No, don't raise your hand. Come on, man. I don't want to get you in an argument on the way home. I was just teasing there. I'm sure you married a perfect human being. And so, but we all have issues, don't we? Have you ever been tempted to say, God, I can't do this yet. God, I'm not ready for that yet. No, Lord, I'm not ready to take that step. But no, I can't serve you. I can't give you. I can't. Lord, help me over here first. And Lord, I promise you, when you help me here, I'll do so much for you. Has anybody ever tried to drag God over to your troubles like a vending machine? Am I the only honest person in the house of Jesus? Hallelujah. That's the temptation every one of us face. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't live that way. You're living so backwards. He said, love what I love. Give your life what I've given my life for. Put my kingdom first in your life. And everything you are longing for, my Father who feeds the birds will care for you. He said, but you either care for yourself or you'll let my Father care for you. I've learned something in my life. It's a whole lot better when God starts showing up in my life than me. I'm a pretty limited person. I don't know about you. Say, I'm a pretty bright guy or lady. You might be, but in God's league, you're not so sharp. I'd rather have my Father adding to me than me figuring out a way to figure everything out in my life. That's why Jesus said, all worry is self-focus. All worry is proclaiming the absence of God into your tomorrows. He said, but when you put my kingdom first, you should, he said, have the confidence that my Father will add to you. See, that's why when we even ask God, God, bless my finances, but he's not first in my finances or first in my life, then I'm actually deceiving myself by praying that kind of prayer. Lord, help me here. Lord, help me. See, putting him first is the key. Do you know why we meet on Sundays in Scripture? Do you know why? It's the first day of the week. And you know what God commands believers to do is to gather together. Come to church. Look, if you're online, we're glad you're watching online, and that's okay. But he doesn't say watch online. He said, you come together as my body and put me first the first day of the week. And do you know for how many people that's a subjective thing? Do you know for how many people when it comes to their money, God's last, if at all? God doesn't want to be first because he's an egotist. God's first because that's his name. He is preeminent in all things. He doesn't have an option. I can choose not to put him first, but that's all he is. He's first. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. If there was one thing I could do in your life, if I could form one habit in your life, born out of a belief, not out of some religious duty, I give you my word before God, I would come to every one of your houses, I would get on my knees and beg you for 45 minutes, and I would go house to house until I died, because there's about 9,000 people that attend this church. That would take some time, but I'm telling you, there would be nothing I would do more effective in your life than if I could help you to understand, put God first in every area of your life. When your children are raised, you will have begged God for the opportunity to have made him first. Every week of the world, your children learn who's first. Get them here and you get here. It's inconvenient. Nothing that's valuable is convenient. I'm guessing going to work is inconvenient. Getting your kids to school is inconvenient. I know paying for college ain't convenient. Put him first. Put him first in your money. Put him first in your life. And he said, when you do that, when you put me first, in watering others, you water yourself. Listen to what he said in the book of James. James was a pastor. Actually, he was the half-brother of Jesus. Same mama, different daddies. How many of you know they had different daddies? Amen? James 4, verse 2 says this. You don't have because you don't ask. And you ask and you don't receive because. You ask with wrong motives so that you may consume it for your own pleasure. Now, does that mean God doesn't want me to have pleasure? That's not what he said at all. In fact, there's more scriptures than I can go over today with God desiring to meet our needs in our everyday life. In fact, you know God has pleasure. You realize pleasure doesn't, man didn't create pleasure. God created pleasure. Do you know that he said for his pleasure you were created? There's nothing wrong with pleasure. God, you know laughter does not come from us. Laughter is a wonderful thing. It came from the heart of our God. Every emotion you have, including anger, come out of the heart of God. And there is one called fear that comes out of the heart of the enemy. And what I want you to see today, my heart's desire for every one of us, is that James wrote as a pastor, he said, when you're asking, all you're doing is asking God to move in your life, to consume it for yourself. Doesn't mean you shouldn't ask God for God's help. There's so many scriptures telling you to do that. He said, but when all you do is live your life, trying to bring God into your world so that you can consume his power in your life just to get you where you want to be and need to be and what you want, my four and no more. He said, you are living in a deception. One of the ways every one of us can be involved in kingdom builders is through putting God first in your finances. And that's why in the guide, you'll find a commitment card. This is not about a fundraiser. This really isn't. This is giving you the track to run on to put God first in your finances. Above your normal commitments of tithes and offerings, I want to encourage every one of us in this church to make a commitment. I want you to have a vision for your money that is bigger and broader than your own stuff, your own problems. And it's a one-year commitment, that's it. And yet, so often we think, well, someone else will take care of. No, listen. This is what I believe God's calling us to do with Kingdom Builders. I don't care if you've been a Christian for an hour or for 50 years. Every one of us, listen to me, please. I want every one of you to make a commitment and keep it. And I want you to give beyond yourself, beyond what you typically give out of your tithes and offerings. Every one of us do something. And there are three basic areas that occurs in. And I had somebody come to me, and I thought this was a great way of thinking. He came to me and he said, John, for many people, for many of us, we're in positions in our life, we don't have any extra money. Man, we're kind of under even at the end of the month. So it's not that we don't want to, we can't. He said, I would encourage you to say this to people. And I thought, boy, how much wisdom was in this? He said, I would encourage people to shake up the way they spend their money. He said, ask that question, do you really need more income, or can you put the kingdom first in some of your priorities? Are there places that I'm spending money today that I could say, you know what, that's discretionary. I'm going to take that money. He said, because I know my nephew when he was in school, and he started that really, I mean, he was on fire for God. In his church in Cincinnati, they were doing some things and giving into some issues into the needs of their community. And this is a young guy that absolutely adores sports. You know what he and his wife did? They cut off their cable for 2 years so that they could take that money and put it aside into this. He said, Uncle Joe, no, he's a sports nut. But he said, you know what? I laid that aside. I'm not telling you to cut off your cable. I know, you know what my dad used to say to me? And most of you know my dad, didn't know him. He's been in heaven for, I guess, 10 years now. My dad was kind of rough around the edges. And he would always say things like this to me. He goes, what's the matter with you people, cranberry people? Go to Starbucks, spend $50 on a cup of coffee. What are you, stupid boy? Go to 7-Eleven. You can get a jug for 20 cents. What's the matter with you? You idiots, go there, spend $90 a coffee. God, what's the matter with you? What are you, stupid? Use your mother's maiden name. There are probably 4,000 families that attend this church. Do you know that if you took just Starbucks money, if everybody went to Starbucks, it would exceed $1.4 million in a year? I'm telling you, it's not a big deal with a church this size. To be honest with you, for those of us that maybe just need to reallocate some of our money by priority, that's one way. The other one is some of us, you know, you have the ability, you have an abundance. Don't just throw God a tip like he's a waiter. And I'm not asking you to make this commitment today. I'm asking you to pray about it. God, what would you have me do? What would you have me to do on a monthly basis as we trust you to fund that $1.4 million in these missions and works around the world? And you'll see them in your kingdom guide. And then there are some of us in this room that are called to be legacy givers. That's where you have the gift of generosity. Now, typically, we're not asking you or creating a way for you to designate your giving to projects. However, there are people who have a call to give. It's in the Bible. It's a calling to generosity. And God has equipped them and giving them the ability to bring income into their life. But do you know every gift you have is for a reason that's eternal beyond your own stuff. And some of you have a call to generosity and have already exercised it. Now, for some of you, you may look at the guide and say, you know what? I feel like I want to fund that in part or in whole. That's a little bit different because you have a different gift. Legacy givers don't set the vision of the church, but they can accelerate it. You might be a legacy giver here and say, for the Newcastle launch, which is going to, this month, next year is when we'll open the Newcastle campus. We'll give you more details about it. John and Kara Owens are going to be the campus pastors. I'm telling you, man, we are going to go and help all the churches that are already there, and we are going to do our best to bring a life-giving power, man, to see Newcastle helped and blessed by the kingdom of God. But do you realize that campus launch alone is $275,000? All the equipment, all the cost, all the things involved. You might be a legacy giver and say, I want to fund that campus. Totally. Well, that's fine. Or maybe in part. But every one of us are called to have a vision for our money. Every one of us. And here's the last thing Jesus did. He said he gave them authority. He didn't just appoint them. He didn't just spend time with them. He didn't just commission them and send them and give them purpose. He said, now I'm going to empower you to do that purpose. That's where we do the fourth thing, make an impact. If you were to say, what is Kingdom Builders? It's our fourth purpose. It's our final purpose. It's the one that you will be thrilled that you did or sorrow that you didn't do in eternity. Make the impact you were called to make with your life. That's what Kingdom Builders is. It's making an impact. And listen to the scripture Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is the moment of the ascension of Jesus Christ. The last sentence the Son of God spoke on planet earth was a command to reach the world. And he spoke to his followers and he said, I want you to not just stay in Jerusalem. I want you to go to Judea. I want you to go to Samaria. And by the way, Samaritans were hated by Jews. He said, I want you to go to the place that you think does not, the people you think do not deserve me. You're going to go there and you're going to love them. You're going to serve them. And then he said something that had you in mind and me. He said, I want you to go to the ends of the earth. That's what we're doing through Kingdom Builders. 130 nations this year. When you give to Kingdom Builders, you're going to help us put an orphanage in the Philippines. The scripture says in the book of James, this is pure religion undefiled, to care for the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. And we're going to build, we're putting $70,000 and we're building that orphanage. Guys, I'm telling you, it is time to multiply the kingdom of God. You are a kingdom builder. You are a multiplier. That's what God's called you to be. I want to pray for every one of us today. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's calling on your life. Don't get in a hurry today. We're not going to be any longer than we normally are. So don't go, just stick with this. This can change generations in your life. This is where generations can change. This is where your children who are on one track will end up on another. Where this world and its system has so governed our life that we're bringing our kids somewhere we don't want them to be. When they get there, we ask how they got there. So, and then we ask God to help them get away from where we led them. Putting him first, it matters. You watch what happens. Our kids are kingdom builders. All the way up through our high school ministry, they have projects they're committed to. I think some of the greatest stories you'll find in the next generation. You watch, there'll be young men and women that will raise $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 in 1 year. They'll figure out a way to do it. And they don't have any money. There's already kids saying, I can't wait for summer. I'm going to cut grass everywhere and every penny I want to put in Kingdom Builders. These are your kids. There's no greater joy I have in my life, and I have no greater desire than to see my children walk with God. And I have no greater desire for you and your children as well. Would you just bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you would say, you know, Pastor John, I feel like God has called me to serve him in a way that requires me to step into ministry. There are some of you, listen to me, that have had a ministry call on your life. I don't mean just to serve in a general sense. We're all called to do that. We're all called to serve in our vocation. But I'm talking about, you feel like God has tapped you on the shoulder. Maybe it was 10 years ago or longer. And you've never obeyed that. And there were reasons. You just felt like you couldn't do it or whatever. And today you say, well, what's that? What's going to change today? What's going to change is your will. And a choice to say, Father, I will take whatever the next step is you have for me. Because for some of you sitting in this room, God has called you to touch the world. I promise you, outside of this room, in the next generation, there are world changers that are being released right now. If you're in this room and you know, you say, you know what, I know I've had a call on my life and I've just, for whatever reason, not been able to follow it or didn't obey it. I want in a moment you to acknowledge that. And then we're going to do something very specific and pray together. But then secondly, let me say this, and we'll all respond together. You may be here today, and you may say, you know what? I don't feel like I have that kind of calling, but I know that I've just lived in those first two things, being appointed and called and knowing God and finding freedom. That's all I've known. But I really have never stepped into the reason he put me on the earth. I've never really started to live beyond myself. I want to be a kingdom builder. Now, very clearly, guys, listen to me. Everybody can do this financially, but I'm not just talking about your money. That's the last of it. Because if God has your heart, your money comes with it. I'm talking about, are you willing to take the next step he gives to you to be able to step into the purpose of God for your life and to make an impact? If you're here and you'd say, I know God's presence, God's call is upon me to do that. And then lastly, I'd say this. If you're, you say, God, I'm all in for you. I'm all in. If you're, let's all stand together. I'll tell you, all those three invitations really cover everybody. But I want you to take a next step. This is what I saw in my heart when I was praying. And we're going to do this. And I'm going to ask you, whether you're in the last row in the risers to the first row, I'm going to ask everyone to do something that is very simple. Yet I can tell you it can be so profound, it will change your life in generations to come if you will take a step. God never asks us to do 50 things. He always asks us to do one. And in that step of grace and humility, you find power that you've never known available. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if either one of those invitations of the three are you, and I'm sure, I mean, that's all of us, but specifically, man, I've been going after God, but I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm a kingdom builder. Or you know you've kind of kept that back. Lord, I'm going to take my next step. Or perhaps you've had a call on your life, and it could be decades. You think it's too late. Listen to me. It is not too late with God, ever. Ever too late. So if that's you today, would you with me as an act of surrender, just lift your hands to heaven, and I want to pray over you. Father, we lift our hands as an act of surrender. And as before we pray over you, I'm going to ask you to simply do this. The worship team's going to sing a song. And as they do, I'm going to ask you to come. I don't care if you're in the last row at the top. Come down and let's gather around this altar and fill every space you can and fill the aisles. I know we all can't get around here. But I want every person that, if this is in your heart, you get out of that seat and get in an aisle somewhere. And let's fill the front. Let's fill the aisles. And we are going to make a consecrated commitment to God today as a church. To be kingdom builders, and it's going to change generations to come. So let me pray over you, and then I'm going to ask you, if you have your hands raised, you get out of that seat as we sing and worship, and you come and you make your way down, and we're going to make proclamations. And I'm telling you, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will do something in you today that will change the rest of your life, because this is the reason Jesus died and left to you a commission. So, Father, I thank you for the men and women in this room. I thank you for the next generation. We are kingdom builders. We put you first. Thank you that you selected and appointed us. Thank you that you want to be intimate with us. Thank you that you send us forth. And our Lord, we go to make an impact, and we will make the next step. We will step out of the chair, come to the front, and make a consecration as the scripture. Over and over again, we would come, as it were, to an altar to make a commitment to our God. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, make your ways out of your seats. Fill every spot you can in the front. And let's consecrate our hearts to the Father. We worship you, Lord. Father, I thank you. We stand in your presence. This is a holy moment in our lives. Lord, this is not about a program. This is about your kingdom first. Lord, in this room right now, your presence is so strong on people. And his holy presence is in this room. It's so heartbreak. It's okay. Let him break your heart with what breaks his. Let him break the shackles of living an everyday life and missing eternity. Let that awareness settle into your heart. Let him speak to you. Don't just talk to him. Let his presence settle in you. There's nothing impossible with him. Nothing. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I heard these words come up in my heart by the Spirit of God. Hopelessness is not something that goes away by simply prayer. Hopelessness doesn't go away by simply some event. Hopelessness goes away when you walk in hope. When you walk in the expectation of your God in your future. When you make decisions where you project the presence of your Father in your tomorrow. Hope is when you give away what he's given to you freely. That's where hope comes from and abounds. Generations, generations, generations to change. Generations to change. The hopelessness that this is generational and you see it even formed in your children or maybe your grandchildren. You say, my God, I just wish it's never too late with God. Generations to change. We put you first in our week. We put you first in our money. We put you first in our life, knowing that you will add these things, your kingdom first, your kingdom first, your kingdom first in our life. Father, I pray for those in this room that are obeying a call of God upon their life, that they have maybe neglected for years. I pray they let go of the guilt and the shame, and they yield to your goodness and your presence and help them to understand, what is my next step? For those in this room that are saying, Lord, I don't know what my next step is, but I commit to doing whatever it is that you have for me. Perhaps your next step is to go through the Our Church experience and discover your purpose and just get busy serving anywhere, somewhere, to get moving toward that. For some of you, that you've been walking with God and even standing in your purpose, be sensitive to what he would have you to do, what he would have you to lead, how he would have you to develop even other people, and to be a kingdom builder in people, that you build people to become kingdom builders. Holy Spirit, have your way in this room. And I pray over every person here. I make a declaration of faith over every person that they will fulfill the purpose of their God, that they were taken hold of for a purpose, and they will now take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of them. They will live in their purpose. They will put the kingdom first. This world will become brighter because we, Jesus, you said, are the light of the world. They are a city on a hill. They are not a candle to be hidden under a bushel, but they will shine by your grace and your power. And fear will not be their companion, but faith will be their leader. Fear will not project their tomorrows. Fear will not tell them how to live and how to think. Their yesterdays will no longer define who they are. The abuse, the sorrow, the difficulties, that's not who they are. They are who you said they are. And Jesus, I thank you for bringing freedom into their life as you rub off on all of us in the in Christ life. Oh, my Father, thank you. Thank you. Generations will change because of what's happening in this room today. Lord, we don't know who's in these other rooms. The world changers that you will raise up in the marketplace and in ministry context, the moms and the dads, the families, that God, there's so much you're doing today that as we seek first the kingdom, you will add these things to us. And I pronounce your blessing over your people. With every head remaining bowed and every eye closed in this room, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, if you died today, you don't know where you'd spend your eternity. I want to make sure you don't leave here. If you're watching online, this doesn't end without you giving the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you're not sure you want to receive Christ into your life, I'll pray for you right where you're standing, and you do it right where you're watching online. Just simply raise your hand right where you are and we'll pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift it high so I can see it. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud. We'll pray it together with you. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound, and Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. 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 Give them a hand, would you? Just amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.